I am seated across from political scientist Stephen Voss. He's been keeping a close eye on the electoral landscape here in Kentucky and the country ahead of the midterm elections. Thanks for taking some time out for us.
Good to talk to you again, Josh.
Well, I want to start with the race that's dominated the airwaves for months now, this really fascinating contest between incumbent Andy Barr and Amy McGrath. A lot of observers are chalking the 6th district race up to a referendum on President Trump. This is a district he won by 15 points. Is this a Kentucky race, or do you see national issues driving voters here?
It's completely national, and that's true of most congressional races these days. Barr's biggest weakness going in, and potentially his biggest strength going in, was Donald Trump. It was his name on the ballot, but voters were seeing Trump's name when they were thinking about how they wanted to vote. It helps him in that there are a whole lot of voters here who are more conservative and normally would vote for a Republican. That's not going to help him too much, though, because those voters are kind of complacent. They take things for granted. They have the presidency, they have the Senate and the House, they have the state government. Those folks usually don't show up at very high rates. Democrats, on the other hand, including some new converts, educated professionals who might have voted Republican in the past, they're really keyed up. They're strongly anti-Trump. They're enthusiastic. Barr's got to work in this context. That's not really good for Republicans right now.
So what could Republicans do to close that enthusiasm gap?
They may have closed it already. I mean, we're not sure because the polling data are so thin. But what I'm hearing from people working in the field, really on both sides, is that Republican energy has increased since the Kavanaugh hearings and since Donald Trump visited. Forced to guess, I'd say it's more Kavanaugh, less just the visit from a politician. But I'm hearing that more money's coming in, more people are trying to volunteer. The Kavanaugh controversy and the perception that that appointee was mistreated seems to have put some fire, in, finally, from the perspective of the Republicans, in the bellies of their voters.
Well, given the makeup of the district, who has the heavier lift here?
Normally, you'd say McGrath, because the Republican territories usually maintain better turnout when there's no presidential election. But that's probably more than counterbalanced by the enthusiasm we see on the Democratic side.
McGrath has been banking on this strategy of avoiding those typical ominous black and white type attack ads, but that hasn't stopped other outside groups from running those types of spots against Barr. I'm curious if you think that her style can cut through, or whether it just gets drowned out by the sheer number of messages out there.
I thought the positive, upbeat approach to the campaign was wise, to have the candidate sell herself while her allies did the attacks against Barr. I don't know if it's going to play so well now, because in their one debate, their one televised debate, she came out nasty from the beginning and repeatedly did things that I think most voters would consider negative ads. Lie, liar, lying. You can't really use fighting words like that and still maintain the image of a positive, upbeat campaign. And, if Barr doesn't come out with ads trying to underscore that, I'll be surprised.
We talk about the record amounts of money flowing into these campaigns and the constant ads, the outside interest in the race. I was going to ask, how big of an effect do you think those things actually have, given how pre-polarized this electorate is?
People mostly exaggerate the effect of money. Where money really matters is when you have a challenger like Amy McGrath, who's trying to get a message out, trying to get people to step back from their tried and true product and decide if they want to switch to a different one. Once she got enough money to mount a serious campaign, it stops being about money and it stops being about the enthusiasm and the preferences of voters. And we see this, by the way, in races where somebody pulls huge wads of cash out of their own pocket. When they dump their money in, they don't have a very good success rate because the money's not producing the outcome. What happens is when you see a candidate in a place where they have a good chance, folks get excited and dump a lot of money on them because they're smart and they know they have a good chance. They saw McGrath with her military background and her skill set in a district that has been Democratic not too long ago. That, in fact, was redrawn to slightly help Democrats under a different context. They see an environment that's bad for Republicans, and they're thinking, she can win this. Let's give her some money.
Well, political campaigns have always relied on appeals to emotion. Do you see that as essentially driving the entire discourse at this point?
Our politics has become increasingly polarized. More and more people are not voting for, but voting against. That's one reason turnout is low. But every once in a while, people get against enough. They get angry enough that then it drives them to the polls. And I think that's what we're seeing some with the sort of anti-Trump backlash in an area like this one.
Well, let's switch to a more local race. We've got Mayor Jim Gray going out fairly popular after 8 years. He's decided to enter the fray by endorsing Linda Gorton, which seems to have lit a little bit of a fire under the candidates. It's been a fairly low-key race until last week. Do you see the dynamics changing at all in that contest?
You know, for most of the election, it was clear that despite the nonpartisan nature of the race, that people who tended to the Republican direction were supporting Bastin. You saw Bastin signs in the lawns with Andy Barr signs. And the folks who leaned more left were looking at Linda Gorton, and you saw Gorton signs in the McGrath lawns, you know, which is funny because Gorton's reportedly the registered Republican and Bastin's the registered Democrat. But I've started to notice Bastin making some headway with voters on the left. Some of the student activists, you know, with the college Democrats, showed up at our debate party the other night with Bastin stickers on. And if he's successfully making inroads with voters more on the left, he's stitching together an impressive coalition. It might be a live race down to the wire.
Well, what do you make of an outside group, the National Association of Realtors Fund, spending money to back Ronnie Bastin? Is that something we've seen before in a local mayor's race?
Well, what's strange is that at least on the surface, they're taking similar positions on real estate issues. I mean, he does talk development a little more. Gorton does talk protecting the service boundary a little more. But they've both, at least in terms of their promises, given a fairly consistent message. And to me, that's what's surprising. Having outside money go into local races has been a trend. But having it go into one where from a voter's perspective, there's not this huge obvious difference is a little bit stranger.
Well, lastly, turnout is, of course, expected to be up. At the same time, these are midterm elections. The president is not on the ballot. Are we likely to see dramatically higher numbers at the polls, you think?
You know, the Secretary of State released her estimates, and she was not expecting a particularly high turnout. I haven't been digging into her numbers to see why she says that. But my suspicion, my gut tells me she's probably right, that we don't see people usually being motivated that much by a House race, you know, a U.S. House race, that there's a big uptick in turnout.
We'll have to, as always, wait and see, and we'll have you back to discuss the results. Political scientist Stephen Voss, thanks again for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me, Josh.